Thanks, Andy. I'm going to advance and join you here somewhere. Sorry about you guys sideways. Well, good morning, church. I'm so pleased. Isn't it wonderful, really, that we've had the opportunity to hear, to sing about, and to celebrate God's love this morning? There's so much that we have to be thankful for. But as the truth of God's love hits home, it shines a light on the great divide, I believe, the awesome contrast between a God whose earnest eagerness to know us clashes with our regular indifference about knowing him, whose willingness to sacrifice everything for us grates against our desire to keep our time, our money, and our dreams from him, and whose grand perspective of a world that has gone astray, now given the opportunity for perfect renewal and reconciliation to himself, is often hidden from view, like the sun behind your thumb. If you hold up your thumb, close one eye, you can blot out the sun. It's hidden from view by our small, if well-intentioned, ambitions and our narrow understanding of what's worth our devotion. In the light of God's love, there's the sad possibility of our living in perpetual oscillation between marveling at how great his love for us is and then beating ourselves up about how inadequate it reveals us to be. But the good news is that God doesn't leave us here. He doesn't leave us as recipients of his love, but rather, he calls us to be participants in his great agenda to redeem the world, bringing humanity back into relationship with him as he has always intended. Shortly before ascending to heaven, the resurrected Jesus gathered his disciples together on a hilltop for some parting words. I imagine this as being like a huddle before a game of rugby, where the disciples and their captain Jesus put their arms around each other's shoulders, and Jesus looks around at their faces and he says, "All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." Let's briefly examine the wider context of these words. Throughout the Bible, as Meg has explained earlier, we see examples of tremendous suffering and time and again God intervening as rescuer, delivering individuals and nations. He does this because of his love. God heard the cries of the Israelites enslaved in Egypt and raised up Moses to lead them to freedom. God saw the plight of Naomi and Ruth, both widows devoid of security or sustenance, and brought them under the care and protection of Boaz, whose role as a kinsman redeemer made him responsible for their rescue. For the Israelites under Roman rule, God brought a greater deliverance than they could ever have expected. Jesus, the Messiah they had longed for, wouldn't lead a military uprising against their foreign masters, but would make a path to eternal freedom. Freedom to again know God personally, as Father, as friend, and to anticipate eternity with him. God's enduring love meant and still means that he has a relentless agenda to redeem, to be reconciled with human beings, with his church, with this church, with you and with me. It's this agenda that we're invited to participate in. So from his love, God reconciled us at a great cost. It's Jesus, fresh from victory over death, and in the knowledge that he's made a way for humanity to be redeemed, who says, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me." He doesn't leave us as awestruck, bewildered recipients of his love. Rather, he invites us. More than that, he commands us, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And looking around at the daunted but probably inspired faces of his disciples, he gives his assurance. He says, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." So my question for us today is, are we prepared to be participants? To accept his invitation into his agenda to redeem? We're going to pray, and I think if you feel that this resonates with you, pray along in your heart too. Father God, thank you for your great love. Thank you that because of your love, you sacrificed everything to be reconciled with us. Thank you that you don't leave us as recipients of your love, but instead you call us to be participants in your continued redemptive work. We're in. Shape our attitudes and our aspirations to match your call. We're grateful that you're with us, guiding us and empowering us by your Holy Spirit. Amen.